Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning, Erev Shabbos. So we have a very special dedication tonight. This year is dedicated in honor of Rabbi Avram and Rebbetzin Dr. Adina Schmidman on the occasion of their 25th wedding anniversary this month by Rebbetzin Dr. Adina Schmidman's parents, Henny and Shimon Wolf. So it's my great pleasure and honor to be the Azchus for this year, to dedicate this year. Rebbetzin Dr. Adina Schmidman runs the OU Women's Initiative and has given me many, many opportunities to be Marbitz Torah, the Rabbim, and I greatly appreciate all that she has done for me and so many women around the world, from Nachyomi Sefer Yoshua to Parsha Weekly Sefer Bereishis to the Tehillim podcast that I've been zocha to record summer programs, those Chodesh Lunch and Learn. So you're really Marbitz Torah all over, mamish all over the world. It's a tremendous chus to be part of your programming. I greatly appreciate it. It is my honor on behalf of your parents to have this chus to dedicate this year to you and your husband in honor of your 25th outing anniversary. Admei of Esrim Shana, you should gather, should continue to bring schusim to the cloud with your Avodas HaKodesh in good health, and only nachas and a lot of siyata d'shmaya. So really a very big honor and a beautiful dedication by your parents, my dear friend, Henny Wolf, and Rabbi Shimon Wolf. Let us learn. So I'm going to start in an unusual way, and I'm going to start by starting with a story instead of the Mishnah in question. The story relates to, guess what? We finished with that. I mean, we probably could learn more, but for purposes of our shir, we may come back to it. I don't know, but we're moving on. I'm starting a new Mishnah tonight. I'm going to begin by quoting a story before I quote the Mishnah, so a little bit out of order. I'm quoting from the book Rebbe. If you didn't read it, you should, by Joseph Telushkin about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. As a rule, when praying in a small synagogue upstairs, where he faced the public, the Rebbe tried to keep his face somewhat hidden, whether it was just to enable him to focus more intently on his own prayers or to make sure the Hasidim, who were in awe of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, were not monitoring him instead of attending to their own prayers. It's uncertain why he hid his face, yet the covering of his face during prayers was known to all within Chabad. Yet there were days, rare in number, when he uncovered his face. There was a certain Israeli man, for obvious reasons, his name has been omitted, that's what it says in the book, who periodically showed up at Chabad and who came to the Rebbe's minyan to pray. His face was grotesquely disfigured, most likely from a terror attack or an army wound. People often went to great lengths to avoid looking at this individual. When this man prayed in the Rebbe's minyan, the Rebbe made no effort, which was totally atypical, to cover his face. He did not want this man or any of those present to think that it was distasteful for the Rebbe to look at him. The disfigured gentleman himself spoke of the Rebbe's behavior to other people, and the reason for it to the Lubavitcher, who begged his forgiveness. 18 years earlier, when this Lubavitcher man was a child of 11 years old, he had mocked this man's appearance. And as an adult, he came to ask for mechila. The disfigured man twice refused to grant forgiveness. He finally did so, but only after giving tochacha. You regard yourself as a follower of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. You acted to me with such cruelty. Let me tell you something about the character of the man you claim to follow, who you call your Rebbe. And then he related the above story, that though it was well known to all that the Rebbe would cover his face during davening, whenever this man was present, he never covered his face. After relating the story, the man granted the chassid full forgiveness on condition that he go around delivering speeches on the importance of treating people with compassion and never mocking them. The chassid, who was interviewed for this book, writes Telushkin, has now given this lecture several times, and the disfigured gentleman now greets him with hugs when they meet. What Mishnah are we going to be studying today? Could you see Pirkei Avos on my screen? Okay. We're going to Perek Gimel. We're out of order. I know we're really in Perek Aleph, and Beli Neder, we will get back to there. But for purposes of tonight's shiur, we are skipping ahead to Perek Gimel. So the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Elazar HaModa'i Omer, Rabbi Elazar from Moda'i says, HaMechalo Es HaKodshim, I'm going to use the translation of Art Scroll. There's a lot going on in this Mishnah. For our shiur, we're going to be focusing on only one aspect of the Mishnah. A person who profanes the sacrifices, VaHamivaza Es HaMo'ados, and is dismissive of the holidays, the Hamalbim Pnei Chaveiro Birabim, and one who whitens the face of his friend in public, which is a metaphor of Chazal for shaming somebody else in public, the Hamefar Briso Shal Avram Avinu Alav Hashalom, and one who violates the covenant of Avram Avinu, the Hamegala Panim Batorah Shalo Kahalacha, and applies the Halacha incorrectly, Af al pi sheyesh biyado Torah umaisim tovim, even though he has in his hands Torah and good deeds, ein lo chelek leolam haba. He has no portion in the world to come. For purposes of our shir tonight, Perek Av Mishnah Tesvav Shammai Omer took us 6 weeks to get through. So technically, this Mishnah will probably take us 2 months. But for purposes of our shir, we're going out of order in the Mishnah. And what we're focusing on tonight, based on the story with how I started shir, you could probably know where I'm going. I want to talk about Malbim Pnei Chaveiro Birabim, someone who whitens his friend's face, who causes shame publicly to another person, to his friend, Af Al Pi, even though he could be a big Talmud Chacham and he could know a lot of Gemara and a lot of Mishnah and a lot of Rashi and a lot of Halacha, nevertheless, ein lo chelek leolam haba. This is a very drastic statement here of the Mishnah. This person, I forgot to welcome my mother-in-law. Brishus, my mother-in-law, who's joining us this evening. Thank you so much, Ima. So let us look at the Bar Tanura, which I put on the screen here for you. Okay. Hamalbim pnei chaver berabim. So the Bar Tanura explains what's going on here. Hamisbayesh panav, someone who causes someone to be embarrassed, late bayesh, ma'adimos techila, va'achar kach mislabnos. So the Bar Tanura says, why do you say malbim pnei chaver berabim? Usually when someone gets embarrassed, what color does your face turn? Red. So why does the Mishnah say someone who whitens lavan, the face of his friend in public, eino chelok lo haba? So the Mishnah says, what happens when a person gets embarrassed? Ma'adimos techila. First, your face taka turns adom, red, va'acharkach, but after, what happens? Mislabnos. Then your face turns white. Why? Shahanefesh yeshla shtei tunuos. The soul has two movements. Achas lechutz va'achas lifnim. One towards the outside and one towards the inside. And ukishemis bayishin esa adam. And when someone embarrasses somebody else, when a person gets embarrassed, betchila, initially, haruach misno ea litzad chutz, his spirit moves to the outside, kimisha mismalei chema, upanav ma'adimo. So, I don't know exactly how they understood science 500 years ago, 400 years ago, but what he's saying is that first your emotions come to the outside, like someone who's full of wrath. And just like an angry person gets very red in the face from his rage, so to a person who is embarrassed, his nefesh moves to the outside. Ukusha'enu motse ta'ana keitzod yasir habosha sahu me'al panav. And when he does not find a way to remove the embarrassment from upon his face, if it's ever happened to you in your life, and it has happened to me in my life, that you get embarrassed or your face turns red, and then some insensitive person has the audacity to say, look at Michal, she's all red. Has this ever not happened to you? This is total malbim pnei chaver berabim. So what happens at that point? Now you don't know how to remove the red from your face. This is exactly what the Bar Tanura is describing. Ukusha'ena motse ta'ana, keitzad yasir haboshes hu me'al panav. Oh no, what should I do? And trying to remove it from your face and people commenting makes it even worse. It makes your embarrassment worse. Who do'eg? Now he starts to worry. Now you're having anxiety. Now you're so embarrassed. Now everyone's looking at me. Who do'eg bikirbo? Now he has worriness inside of him. V'nichnas haruach litzad panav mipnei hatzar. So now what used to be external, now those feelings move internally. Litzad panav, internally with pnei hatzar, because now he is tzar. Now he is aggrieved. Upanav miskar kimim umislabnim. This means his face first turns like yellow. So as the red fades, your face starts to turn yellowish, the red dims, and then your face turns white. You know, you sometimes say to a person, you look like you saw a ghost. So really, that's what the bartender is describing here. That first the person, his emotions move to the outside, your face becomes very red, then you don't know how to get rid of the red on your face. So what happens is all that blood starts to drain and you start to feel ashamed and even more ashamed. You don't know what to do. And now you look like you saw a ghost. And this is what it says in the matter of whitening. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Da'azil sumka va'asi chivara. When the red leaves, the white comes. So Rabbi Elazar Modai teaches us something pretty powerfully here. What he teaches us is that someone who is Malbin Pnecha Ver Barabim, we just understood from the Bartanura why the Mishnah calls it whitening of the face and exactly how the body undergoes this process, does not have a chelek in Olam Haba. Rabbi Daniel Feldman Shlita writes in his book, which book? I have a few of his farm. In his book, The Right and the Good, I have a few different Sfarim. He is a Rosh Hashiva at YU Reitz, and he's a Mechaber Sfarim. Tremendous Talmud Chacham, brilliant Raven individual. Rabbi Daniel Feldman writes in his Sefer, The Right and the Good. The Medrash Shmuel quotes, in the name of Rabbi Menachem Lebeit Meir, a description that will be familiar to anyone who has ever been truly embarrassed. Quote, he is quoting the Medrash Shmuel, one who is humiliated, first his face turns red, then his face turns white, because due to the magnitude of the shame, the soul flies away as if it wanted to leave the body. Once the blood returns to its source, the face turns white like someone who has died. This is The Right and the Good of Daniel Feldman. If you have the Sefer, it's on page 6. It's a direct quote. The Medrash Shmuel, once again, let's read that over again. The Medrash Shmuel quotes, in the name of Rabbi Menachem Lebeit Meir, a description that will be familiar to anyone who has ever been truly embarrassed. I know I said it. It's worth kedai to repeat it. Not only because we don't want to be on the receiving end, but even more so, we don't want to chalila be on the, God forbid, giving end. And we're coming up to Matan Torah. And we all know the famous Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged HaHar. Ki'ish Echad Belev Echad. And what's required of us is Achdus and sensitivity. It's a time period of Sfiras HaOmer, Rabbi Kiva's great maxim of the Torah, that Ahavta Recha Kamoch is the Klal Gadol Torah. Everyone is familiar with the students of Rabbi Kiva who died Mipnei Shalon Hagu Kavod Zalaza. And if there could be any tikkun that we could bring to this world that seems to be in upheaval, perhaps we could learn how to be more sensitive to the needs of somebody else. Like, it's beyond me why somebody would say when someone gets embarrassed, wow, look how red your face is. People have said that to me. What are you possibly thinking? Is that going to diminish somebody's shame? Listen to this description. One who is humiliated, his face first turns red and then turns white because due to the magnitude of the shame, his soul flies away as if it wanted to leave the body. You know the expression, you want the ground to open up and swallow you? Maybe it comes from Korach. I'm not sure. We're starting Parshas Bamidbar next week. But that's how you feel, as if the soul wants to leave the body. That's sometimes how embarrassed a person can be. Once the blood returns to its source, the face turns white like someone who has died. And then Rabbi Feldman, interesting, I'm just quoting you a short source from Rabbi Feldman. Rabbi Feldman then quotes, according to Mosby's Medical Dictionary. Okay. What is blushing? Blushing is commonly the result of dilation of superficial small blood vessels in response to heat or sudden emotion. So this is exactly what Chazal and the Mefarshim are describing for us. According to Mosby's Medical Dictionary, as quoted by Rabbi Daniel Feldman Shlita, blushing is commonly the result of dilation of superficial small blood vessels in response to heat. Okay, so sometimes you're just hot, like, 2 years ago when we were at Yisrael, it was the last time we were there. Oi, we went to Ein Gedi. In the beginning, I thought I was going to freak out. I don't do so well with heat, and it was July, and the temperature by the Dead Sea was, I don't know, I was hiding under rocks trying to stay cool. Then we found a little stream, then I saw how beautiful it was okay. But sometimes you're just hot, so your face turns red. So you have a dilation of superficial small blood vessels. Sometimes it's in response to heat, and sometimes it's in response to sudden emotion. As in the case of, sometimes you're just very excited or overwhelmed, sometimes you're embarrassed. And it is extremely serious because Amal bin Pnei Chaveiro Birabim, says Rabbi Elazar HaModai, Eino Chelek L'Olam Haba. The Pasuk says in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Parshas Kedoshim, Lo tisna es achicha bilvavecha, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, Hocheach tochiach es amisecha, you shall surely rebuke your fellow, Velo tisa alav chait. What does that mean? Lo tisna es achicha bilvavecha. So you can't be all nice on the outside and all friendly to someone on the outside. Really, internally, you really hate that person. And you're thinking the whole time you're talking to them how awful they are and how you don't want to be here. Not because you're tired like last week in the supermarket. No, you just really can't stand that person. That's a problem. You're not allowed to harbor hatred towards another Jew in your heart. Sometimes a person needs tochacha. Sometimes a person is doing something wrong. Is it possible this isn't the way? Is it possible we do it this way? But then the pasuk ends with "Velo tisa alav chay." You should not carry sin because of him. What does that mean? You should not carry sin because of him. Rashi says, "Vayikra 19:17, Yud Tes Yud Zayin." Rashi says, "Velo tisa alav chayt lo talbin espanav birabim." So the pasuk has just told you, "Hocheach tochiach esamisacha." Sometimes it's necessary to give rebuke to somebody else. However, when you give that rebuke to somebody else, how careful do you have to be? V'lo tisa alav chait, you shall not bear sin because of him. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Lo talbin es panav birabim. So when you come to give the tochacha, be very cognizant of how you're doing the tochacha. If there's a whole group standing there and you see that person, I don't know, doing something wrong, don't go over in front of the whole group and say, listen, you know, I really need to rebuke you. That's not the Torah way. That's not the halacha way. In front of five people. And in fact, in one of the sfarim in which I was preparing, I don't remember which sefer it was, it's brought down that three people is considered rabbim. So it doesn't have to mean you bear some in front of 20 people or 10 people or 15 people. Even three people is considered birabim. And giving someone rebuke in front of rabbim, you will bear sin. So you think you're doing something good. You're being so holier than thou. You're being so righteous. That's not how you wash the strawberries to check for bugs. I'm going to tell you how you have to wash the strawberries for bugs. But meanwhile, you have other people in your home for the Memorial Day barbecue. And now 10 people heard that you're washing the strawberries incorrectly. So yes, it's a problem to eat the insects, but it's also a problem to be malbim pnei chaveiro birabim. There's a way to give tochacha. So hocheach tochiach es amisecha. However, it comes with a condition. V'lo tisa alavchei. Don't bring sin upon yourself through being such a tzaddik. Al tatzdik harbe. Don't be such a tzaddik by giving somebody else tochacha. You could push someone over to the side, you could say something privately, you could call them on the phone when it's only the two of you. To do something in public, such a degree of humiliation means instead of doing the mitzvah of giving tochacha, you're actually bringing an aveira upon yourself. And in a vart from Rav Pam, Zatzal, Rav Pam speaks about this mitzvah with a very interesting addendum, if you will, or aspect, I should say, that sometimes we don't consider. Rashi, Kervar from Rav Pam, Sefer Imre Kohen al HaTorah. It's put up by Art Scroll. So he quotes the pasuk, Kocheach tochiach esamisecha, velo tisa alav chei. We've already explained it in Sin Rashi. Says Rav Pam, Rashi is based on the Gemara in Arachin, says that although the Torah requires a person to admonish his fellow Jew when he sees him committing a sin, okay, this reprimand should not be done publicly. Says, I'm quoting Rav Pam, the manner for doing so requires careful forethought, so as not to shame the person in public. And now, Rav Pam teaches, quote, this concept is well known, but what many people are not aware of is that it applies to embarrassing children as well. I don't have young children anymore. Elementary school age, little kid, toddler age. But I do remember that very often children will do things wrong, young children, either mistake or on purpose. And sometimes the parent responds by screaming, what's wrong with you? In rage or in anger. Sometimes it could be in the park. Sometimes it could be in public. It's something that I had encountered more than once. And it's such a painful comment. Now, of course, there's a responsibility to rebuke the behavior of the child if it needs rebuke. It's not the same as demeaning the personality of the child. Imagine if every time we did something wrong, somebody would scream at us on our playground of life, whether it's a supermarket or a shul or giving shir or a public gathering, and someone would come over and scream at you because you made a mistake in public. What's wrong with you? So the behavior was incorrect. The reprimand needs to be done privately, but there's nothing wrong with the person. What does it do to someone's self-esteem if they're constantly hearing there's something wrong with me? Rav Pam says this concept is well known, but what many people are not aware of is that it applies to embarrassing children as well. The Gemara in Bava Kama says, quote, if one humiliates a minor who has reached the age of maturity where he experiences embarrassment, he must pay financial damage. This is codified in the Shulchan Aruch as well. While a toddler may not be on that level, it should be obvious that a school-aged child does experience embarrassment, and one must be careful not to cause even the child great emotional pain. Yes, we get frustrated. Yes, there are kanayna harem, many children in a from family, kein yerbu. Yes, they don't always get along. Yes, they don't always listen. Yes, they don't always do things right the first time or the second or the third. But it is not an excuse, and it is considered malbim pnei chavira berabim regarding a child as well. Says Rav Pam, it is a mistake, I'm quoting, for parents and teachers to think they have a blanket license to shame children under their care. And he adds their teachers. This prohibition applies to them as much as it does to anyone else. The only difference is they are permitted to admonish their children and students publicly if it is absolutely necessary for the benefit of the child, and there is no other way to do so in a less embarrassing manner. Even this dispensation, says Rav Pam, should be avoided as much as possible, because experience has shown that the damage inflicted through public embarrassment usually outweighs the perceived benefits. Very often when we are publicly embarrassed, it's something we remember for a very long time. So any perceived, quote, perceived benefits from public shaming by the parent or the teacher of the young child, experience has shown that the damage inflicted far outweighs any perceived benefit. I know at least that there's one classroom teacher of young children here, and I know she's a wonderful teacher, and I'm sure that you know from your teaching that positive reinforcement goes a far, far longer way. And it's a muster for me as a parent. I'm not teaching young children, but it's something we all have to think about. And why do people say to a child on the playground, what's wrong with you? Why do parents say when the child spills something in the kitchen, what's wrong with you? I know the parent's stressed out, but the child might also have just made a mistake. Therefore, says Rav Pam, effective reproof should be delivered in a pleasant manner without resorting to the terribly painful option of shaming the child in public. And Rav Pam would give a personal example as an illustration of the benefits of effective reproof in a pleasant, private manner. Rav Pam recalled an incident about his mother, Rabbitson Rachaleah, Allah HaShalom. When she was 9 years old, she wanted to fast the whole day on the tainis of Asar Batavis. Knowing that her father, the Shadlitzer Rav, would not approve, she spent the whole day at her friend's house, so her parents would not see what she was doing. At nightfall, she returned home, and she said where she had been that day. At that time, the Dayan of Shadlitz was in the house of the Rav. I think things were very different back in the Alta Haim. Upon hearing what happened, the Dayan said, you should give the girl a patch. I would teach that little fasting on a lesson she would never forget. I would not tolerate such behavior. Rachaleah's father ignored the suggestion of the Dayan. He gave the child supper and he sent her to sleep. When she was in bed, he came into her room. He sat down next to her and he said, my dear daughter, you wanted to do a mitzvah. You should know if someone is not required to fast, it is a sin to do so. It's a mitzvah for a growing girl to watch her health and eat properly. When you will be bas mitzvah, you will be obligated to fast. But now you must be exhausted. Have a sweet rest. Good night. And this is what Rav Pam would tell over as an illustration of how we give proper rebuke. The loving words of the Shalitzer Rav pierced the heart of the 9-year-old girl. 8 decades later, this was Rav Pam's mother, Alal Sham, 8 decades later, those words of her father were still fresh and warm in her mind. This is an example Rav Pam would teach of effective reproof. It's a challenge because so often in life we feel frustrated, we feel exasperated, we feel other people are doing things to us, it's not being done properly, but it is so serious that the Mishnah goes so far as to say that Hamal bin Pnei Chaveiro Berabim Ein Lo Chelek La Olam Haba, That's a pretty drastic statement. In fact, don't we begin every recitation of Pirkei Avos by saying, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek V'Olam Haba? Well, there's a clause, except if you, you know, I would think like eating on Yom Kippur, driving on Shabbos, Ha'ma'abim Pnei Chavir B'Rabim Eino Chelek V'Olam Haba. Why did I decide to focus on this topic specifically? First of all, were the days of Sfiras HaOmer. And it is, I've quoted it maybe in every share I've given since a couple of weeks ago with many different interpretations that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva lost their lives during this time period because Mipnei Shlo Nahagu Kavod Zebzeh, the most basic level of the Pshah, they did not see. We've given other interpretations in this share series, yes, I hope you remember, but they didn't see the Kavod. And we said that Kavod is from the word Kaved. Shorashim in Lashon HaKodesh are very significant. They didn't see the heaviness, the worthiness. They didn't appreciate that other person had worth. Kaved means heavy. And kavod is to give honor. When you appreciate that that person is heavy in chashivos, that person is heavy in their tzelem elokim, excuse me, that person is heavy and created in the image of God, just like you. And I would be more sensitive in how I speak and in what I say. Because if I cause his face to go red, and then the blood drains, and then to go white, then who's in big trouble? I'm in pretty big trouble. So that's one reason. It's a time sphere to sphere to Omer, when we're coming up to Matan Torah, and the importance of Ayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, Ki Ish Echa B'Lev Echad. Another reason I thought it was so relevant is because last week we read chapter 4 of Pirkei Avos, the week before chapter 3. Okay, this is in Perek Gimel. And before I read Perek Gimel, I don't know if it was Thursday, Friday, I heard a shiur by Rabbi Shai Schechter, where he quoted Hamal ben Pnei Chavir Barabim. He was talking very much, some of you may have heard it, he was talking very much about posting things publicly on WhatsApp, before you hit send, before you post on Facebook. That's another way. It was a very powerful shiur, specifically newspapers, where people could publish totally unsubstantiated reports, falsified reports that could really end a person's life, that's truly public. And today, WhatsApp and Facebook and Twitter and whatever else and newspapers and magazines, that's public. That's not even three people. That's the whole world. It was a very, very powerful shiur. Just think before you press send. Don't forget that that's public. Sometimes things are said in WhatsApp groups. I'm trying very hard. I've left a number of my WhatsApp groups. If I left the group that you're in, it's nothing personal at all. I have a problem with WhatsApp groups. And very often the conversation will be at the expense of somebody else. I'm not saying the ones you're on. I'm not saying it's you. It happens. Even through an emoji, a certain kind of face. If the joke is made at someone's expense, it's just not humorous. And sometimes when 20 people, 10 people all start posting, it really gets out of hand. So Rabbi Schechter gave a whole shiur. It was almost an hour. And it was really much, he said, you know, as having grown up with such a chashuv father, Sliter of Herschel Schechter, who was sometimes on the receiving end of public humiliation. He says his father didn't care at all. His father is such an anav. I once heard Rabbi Schechter say about his father, his humility is not even within my ability. So he said about the Rosh Yeshiva of Herschel Schechter Shlita. But he said he, Rabbi Shai Schechter, would be so incensed, so furious. How could somebody slander us? How could somebody publicly cause such humiliation? But that's not why I chose to talk about this. You could go listen to the shiur, and it's very powerful. He taught me something in that shiur that I never knew. I've known this teaching for many years, which is, it's better to be thrown into a kiv shana ish than to mi'al b'pnei chavayu barabim. How do I know that? From Chumash with Rashi, which Baruch Hashem I'm zocha to learn every parsha for many years and teach in the parsha classes. So in Perek Lamed Ches, it is well known, of Sefer Bereishis, that Yehuda ends up having relations with Tamar, his daughter-in-law, unbeknownst to him. Er died, Onan died, Shelah's not growing up, but he's not giving Shelah to Tamar, and she's waiting, and she's waiting, and she's waiting for somebody to perform Yibum, to establish a name for the deceased. It's not happening. Her father-in-law comes up to shear the sheep. She sits at the crossroads. She's dressed like a Zora. They have relations. She's supposed to be sitting in a state of widowhood in her father's house. They have relations. Who's her father? She is a Bas Kohen. Shame. Malki Tzedek is her father. A Bas Kohen who does Znus has to be burned. So after a few months, it becomes apparent that Tamar is Harald's new name. Oh my gosh, they send word to Yehuda. You're not going to believe it. But that daughter-in-law who's supposed to be a widow in her father's house while she apparently waits for Shelah to grow up is pregnant by prostitution. So Yehuda says she has to be taken out to be burned because she's a Bas Kohen, and a Bas Kohen who does nus is taken out to be burned. And she does not say anything. Is payment for the relations. He gave her three collateral items, his cape, his signet, his staff. She holds on to them and she just sends a messenger. And all she says to Yehuda, through the messenger, not publicly, whoever these items belong to, that's who made me pregnant. Yehuda famously says, Tzadka mimeni, she is more righteous than me. Tzadka, she is more righteous. Mimeni says, Rashi, she's pregnant from me. She's not burned, Baruch Hashem, because Mashiach is born from that union. Thank God. But Rashi on the Chumash quotes, very famously, that it is better for a person to be thrown into the Kivshan Ha'ish than to embarrass their friend in public. Who do we learn it from? Tamar. She could have made a whole announcement. You're throwing me into the fire. You knew who got me pregnant? Yehuda. He's saying I should be burned. It's his child that I'm carrying. It turns out it was twins. It's his child that I'm carrying. No, Rashi says, Mutav la'adam. The paraphrase. But what did I learn from Rashi Shechter Shir, which I never knew before, because I always learned that from Rashi. Rashi's quoting the Gemara, and the Gemara quotes the teaching in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia 59a says, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Noach lo la'adam sheyapil atzmo lekivshan ha'esh ve'al yablim pnei chaveiro birabim. From where do we learn this, says the Gemara? From Tamar. He mutzeis v'hishlacha achamiyah. She's turning out to being burned. She just quietly sends a collateral items to Yehuda, her father. She says, whoever these belong to, that's who I'm pregnant by. She didn't even say they're yours. She just sent a coded message, so he should have no shame at all. Whoever these belong to, that's who made me pregnant. He realizes, he admits, that's why he's Zorcha to Malchus. Lots to talk about, beautiful story. But I always read the Rashi and the Chumash. Rashi does not say that Tana Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says. Rashi just quotes the teaching. But Rabbi Shechter quoted in the Shir that it is in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And in fact, Rabbi Daniel Feldman, in the same Sefer, The Right and the Good, notes on page 2, footnote number 5, that this teaching is not only quoted in Maseches Bava Metzia 59a, it's also found in Maseches Brachos 43b, Sota 10b, and Ksubo 67b. I did not look them up. I'm telling you, I'm quoting from Rabbi Feldman. It's quoted 4 times in the Gemara in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So I thought it would be very appropriate. Many of my shirim, but not all, but the majority of my many shirim this week have been dedicated to lessons, chizuk, from the Meiron tragedy and the Meiron disaster. So therefore, in keeping with the Rachmana Litzlan theme of this week, of my shi'urim, I thought it would be appropriate, because it's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai who teaches us, Noach lo la'adam, she'yapil atzmo lekivshan ha'ish, it is better for a person to throw himself into a fiery furnace, which clearly relates exactly to the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar HaModa'i teaches us that if a person is malbim pnei chaveiro berabim, even if he has in his hands Torah and ma'isim tovim, ein lo chelak la'olam haba. The great Tana, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, was one of the 5 new students of Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva who taught us v'haftarecha kamocha zakal gadol b'Torah comes around and he teaches us, if you're faced with a choice between saying, wow, you're so red, look how red she is, and then what happens to your face? You turn even more red. Never be that person. What's worse, eating some invisible bugs on the strawberries or being malbim pnei chaveiro berabim? I don't know, but for one, you don't lose olam haba, and for the other, you do. I'm not saying you should go eat bugs. Please, don't misunderstand. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, whose Hilula was last week exactly, Rachmana Litzlan, 45, pure souls, when you start to read about them, who were there to celebrate Torah, were taken at his tzion, let's learn something from him. And it relates exactly to the Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos, and the teaching of Rabbi Elazar HaModa'i. And it's so important for Matan Torah. We all want to be vessels and vehicles upon which the Torah wants to rest. So we can't forget about the other person and their feelings. In his Sefer of Yaakov Bender on the Chumash, Rabbi Bender tells over the following story. A Talmud came to learn with Rabbi Avram, the Chabina Rosh Hashiva, Ganachowski, if anybody knows. I'm sorry for Kavod HaTorah if I don't know how to pronounce it exactly. Rabbi Avram Ganachowski, the Chabina Rosh Hashiva. It was a Shabbos afternoon. The Talmud came to learn. Engrossed in his thoughts, the young man absentmindedly rang the doorbell. On Shabbos, horrified, he stood there for a long while, wishing he could disappear. So he was already embarrassed before the door was even open. But he had already knocked on the door and rang the bell. Rabbi Avram, the Chabina Rosh Hashiva, did not answer, which was surprising, since the Rosh Hashiva generally did not sleep on Shabbos afternoon and was usually waiting for his Talmud, the Chavrusa, to arrive. Eventually, after long minutes, a sleepy-looking Rosh Hashiva came to the door, dressed in his pajamas. He apologized for the delay. He explained he had been unusually tired. He had taken a rest, and he had not heard the knocking at the door. Later on, the young man understood what had really happened. His rabbi was not sleeping. He was waiting. He heard the doorbell ring. Rather than open the door and humiliate his Talmud, he quickly went to change, donned his pajamas, waited several minutes, and pretended that he had heard nothing. That wouldn't even be berabim, but the degree of humiliation that the person, the Talmud, would have suffered was so great that the sensitive Chabina Rosh Hashiva understood that the way we treat somebody else, and it is better to jump into a Kibshon Eish says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, than to embarrass your friend in public. I want to read from an email that I received that's so related to, unfortunately, in Yanni Dioma. And the whole reason I chose this year was because it's a teaching of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Given that the Niftarim lost their lives at his Tzion. So perhaps if we could all just be a little bit more sensitive, I'm talking to Michal Horowitz, I promise. Just think before you put that on a WhatsApp group. Even an emoji could be embarrassing to somebody else. A sarcastic remark, a derogatory comment. Why do we feel the need to always be saying these things? Your child misbehaves or spills the soup, and it happens. Guess what? Adults also spill. Why do we scream at the child, what's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with the child. It's so humiliating. Any perceived benefit of public humiliation, says Rav Palm, is far outweighed by the degree of shame and the long-term effects. And maybe the Zecher Nishmas HaKadoshim, who were taken at the Tzion of the Holy Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, as we come to Matan Torah, and we're Mesakin for the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, is something we could keep in mind. Tamar was willing to die by burning, rather than publicly say, I'm pregnant from Yehuda. So someone just sent this to me. The Shir was already prepared. What time did I get this? 7 p.m. The share was prepared before 7 p.m. It was an email. It is an email from Sue Koltai, the mother of Ozzy Koltai, the 13-year-old child who has lost his life in Meron. It's a very long email about her son. It's extremely moving. But I couldn't believe how she ended, and she describes his character traits. He was only 13. You have to read the whole thing to get a picture of what this child was. But how it's such important mussar and such a lesson and so relevant to our shir. Write his mother. We are told that there are shining lights who come and go with a flash. We are to bathe in their afterglow and try to cling to their light. We are also told that during Shiva, the midos of the niftar are up for grabs. We just need to have desire. Every mida is available right now. I can't think of any mida my son did not encapsulate and activate. He lived up to his name, Elazar Yitzchak. He was completely kadosh. He had an inner gevura that cannot be fathomed. He did not judge others. He was 13. I'm sure you've seen his picture. A very sweet, idle child with glasses. He did not judge others. Azay Kolti. Azi was his nickname, Koltai. He did not judge others. He did not expect anyone to do things he did. He just did them. There are so many, many stories about our dear son. I have taken up so much of your time, she writes. But this is what I wrote to some of my friends about my dear son so they would get a tiny glimpse of who he was. He was perfect, says his mother. I am not exaggerating in the least. This was a perfect tzaddik who appreciated every bria, every creation, who accepted every person who walked into this house, who helped every person he passed, who played with every child no matter their age or temperament, who had impeccable kibud avim, who had incredible patience, who did not get frustrated by little things, because it was so very clear to him that our Creator runs the world. Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, took him, because his light was too strong for this world, and my son had nothing left to improve. He accomplished more in this world than most people. He is our role model of what perfection looks like, and it is accessible. He enjoyed life. He found joy in every day. He laughed, he swam, skydiving, skiing. He grew vegetables with all the halachos of Klayim, Truma, and Meiser. He nurtured fish. He built machines. He lived in this world through the lens of Torah. He did exactly Ratzon Hashem with no complaining, no vacillating, no waiting. He did it quietly. He ran from kavod. He never sinned. He was kedusha and gevura. And now he is fighting for us in Shemayim. This is who my son was. Just ask anyone who ever met him. Please, if you can, his mother concludes, take on one small, tiny thing to work in his memory. Ozzy was always into little things, not a big avoda, just something small. Le'ilui nishmas Elazar Yitzchak ben Reuven. With bracha and high hopes that these kedoshim and the mitzvahs and growth they inspire will bring Mashiach. Now, and the way she describes him, I thought was so relevant to this shir. He appreciated every bria, he accepted every person, he helped every person, he played with every child, he had impeccable kibud avim, incredible patience, and he didn't get frustrated by the little things. He was 13. Rashbi took him because his light was too strong for this world, and he had nothing left to improve. I chose this shir specifically because it's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which I didn't know until I heard Rabbi Shai Shechter Shir three weeks ago. That's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who teaches Noach lo la'adam sheyapil atzmo l'kiv shana ish. Change into your pajamas and pretend you didn't hear the dorba. Bal yalpim pnei chaveiro b'rabim. It's quoted four times in the Gemara. And the Mishnah in question that we learned, Rabbi Elazar Hamodai Omer, Hamalbim pnei chaveiro b'rabim. We spoke about medically what happens. We spoke about ruchnius what happens. Af al pi sheyesh biyado Torah u'maisim tovim. Ein lo chelek le'olam haba. I'm sure we all want to get there. We don't want to be on the receiving end. And we certainly, better we should be on the receiving end than the giving end. We certainly don't want to be ever chalila on the giving end. So perhaps in the merit of those niftarim who are taken at the tzion of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai on the holy day of his hilula, we could remember his teaching and their merit. And if we hold back even one time from embarrassing one person in public, then this year was kedai. Thank everyone for joining. Hashem should give me the koach to live up to such truths of Torah. And we wish a herzig mazel tov to Rabbi Avram and Reverend Dr. Adina Schmidman and my personal karsa tov to her for all she does for women all over the world through the OU Women's Initiative on the occasion of their 25th wedding anniversary by her dear parents, Henny and Shimon Wolf. It was my pleasure to learn in their merit and for their simcha. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Alavai, we should have a week of Besuros Tovos, all of Klal Yisrael, all over the world, and our beloved land of Eretz Yisrael, and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov, good Shabbos. If somebody asked me for the email from Mrs. Koltai, I don't know who that is, or your email address, you have to reach out to me. I don't know who wrote that. Please reach out to me and I'll forward it to you, okay? If you're interested, I'll forward it to anyone who emails me. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Kol Tov.